Hello, ladies and gentlemen. After repeated threats by Iran's leadership regarding their revenge after the assassination of senior Revolutionary Guards officer in Damascus 2 weeks ago, the reaction indeed arrived. On the night of April 13th, 220 missiles and UAVs carrying 60 tons of explosives were fired for the first time ever from the sovereign territory of Iran towards Israel, with the clear and declared goal to destroy numerous targets on Israeli land, among them also military facilities. Fortunately, and mainly thanks to IAF's strong alliance with its allies, led by USA, France, Great Britain, and by the way, also Jordan, Israel successfully managed to destroy 99% of the weapons fired in its direction. The night of the 13th of April, 2024, will be historically remembered as the first time that Iran threatened and indeed executed its threats and launched from its own territory missiles towards the State of Israel. We dedicate this special program to discuss the implications of this historic event on all fronts and regions and ask, will there be an Israeli reaction to Iran's aggressive attack? And if so, what are the possible scenarios to such an attack? What is the current position of the United States towards an Israeli response? And how are Iran's proxies in the region expected to react as well? And last and definitely not least, how will Israel-Hamas war and the hostage deal be affected by the Iranian unprecedented and historic attack on Israel? I'm Adi Kantor, and I'm honored to present my fellow discussants. Professor Chuck Freilich, senior researcher at INSS, served for over 20 years in Israel's national security establishment as a senior analyst and finally as a deputy national security advisor. And Denis Zinturinovich, associate researcher in the Iran program of the INSS, served for 25 years in a variety of leading positions in the Israeli intelligence office and in the Israeli embassy in Washington. Chuck and Denis, thank you very much for joining me in this talk today. Hello.
Great to be with you. As
Thank you.
always.
Dennis, let us start with you. No doubt, Iran changed the rule of the game 24 hours ago with its massive attack against Israel. I want to ask you know, to hear your opinion. What was this attack? What Iran originally planned,
Well,
or wanted to see, or were there modifications in the past week due to the American pressure? What do you think?
I think first and foremost, we need to ask ourselves why Iran launched this attack. I think it's actually a dramatic change in Iran behavior towards Israel. Unlike the image of the Iranian leadership, Iran is very cautious in relations to using force, especially using its firepower, especially against country like Israel. And I think it actually shows and highlights exactly the fact that the Iranian really thought that the assassination of Hassan Mahdavi in Damascus, not only because he was such a senior IRGC officer, but especially the whereabouts, the fact that he was assassinated within the Iranian consulate in Damascus, for the Iranian, it's a real clear breach of the red line. Now, we have to remember that the Iranian have one major problem. They don't have a variety of tools to attack Israel. Unlike Israel that have, I think, multiple capabilities in that regard, and actually, I think, witnessed that in the last decade, more or less. I think the Iranian have, they are one trick pony in that regard. So they had to use the firepower. Now that's create, for Iran, it's really able them to rebuild their deterrence. But the sheer volume of the attack, I think this is something that Israel cannot ignore. Now, I think that the Iranians are very content based on the leadership statement. I think that despite the threats against them in the last week, especially coming from the United States, they managed to operate what they thought of. I think they managed also some missiles really bypassed our defense capabilities, and despite the fact that most majority of the missiles, UAVs, and cruise missiles were intercepted. The Iranian leadership, I think, feeling today that it actually changed the equation regarding Israel, and it deterred Israel, and Israel will think twice whether to attack in the future Iranian interest, whether in Iran or other places. So I think in that regard, I think the Iranian have I think that they are content, and I think that they are, for them, the they managed to I think revenge the death of Mahdavi.
So this, according to your opinion, this was the original intention of Iran, not to go, not to engage in a total war, but to create what you say, the new deterrence, to make Israel understand this is the price you pay for such, yeah, according to foreign press, of course, to such an attack against our a senior officer in the Revolutionary Guards.
I think so. I think that you know, Iran didn't launch the attack in order to start a war, regional war, and not, especially not a war against the United States. I think that the Iranians are still deterred from the USA. I think they understand that if the US will if they'll find themselves in a war with the US, it really put a lot of jeopardy to the Iran leadership and the Iranian survival towards the future. And I think the Iranians understand that. The fact of the matter is that I think that they thought they have the ability to escalate without finding themselves in a war. And I think this is the main reason why they chosen isolated bases. They didn't attack the center of Israel. And I think in that regard, they thought they can win both ways, meaning they can attack Israel, attack military bases, but assumingly that nothing dramatic will happen in terms of no civilian will die or probably the majority of the missile will be intercepted. That is why I think they launched the attack in such a way.
They launched 320 missiles and UAVs, knowing that this will not create, will not bring Israel to a response, will not make Israel respond. Maybe you can get us into the Iranian mind of the, I don't know, it's impossible to know what the leader thinks, of course, but they really thought that Israel will not react, that the U.S. will not react. And you say also that that they're still deterred by the U.S. They violated President Biden's warning, you know, the famous word "don't." They still did. They went on.
Yeah,
and you still think they're still deterred by the U.S.
I think it's a good question because you see the sheer volume of the weapons, saying how they thought they're not going to find themselves in a war. But I think that a couple of things, when I'm trying to assess what the Iranians thought, you have to remember that they were in a big operational dilemma. And why? Because they were, I think, afraid that they will launch something that would presumably be very weak. And so everybody will, so it will backfire them, meaning that they launched the attack, nothing happened, everything was clearly intercepted, and they didn't cause any damage to Israel, so they will lose twice. So I think they tried to find the magic balance between using their capabilities, showing their strength, without causing a war, and by in some way or form, bypass or some weapon that will bypass the active defense system of Israel. So I think they huge big salvos in that regard, and I think it was for them maybe a mistake, but I think they felt forced to do so in order to make sure that they will have some operational achievements in the attack itself.
How surprised do you think were they by Jordan's reaction to cooperate with Israel and its allies against those missiles and UAVs? Jordan completely cooperated here. Were they surprised?
I think that you are you're absolutely right, and I think that the Iranian contend on the operational level, but I think they lost on the political level. What Iran tried to do before the attack, and it's obvious by the statement of the leadership, and especially the foreign minister Abdullayan, they tried to warn countries not to intervene in such an attack, and we can see Jordan, but also we can see Saudi. Talking or the statement of the Saudis against Iran itself. So I think maybe on the operational level, the Iranian has the upper hand. But on the political level, I think they have a lot of problems in that regard. And actually, it highlighted the fact that the countries in the region actually have some sort of a coalition with Israel and the US against Iran. And I think this event really highlighted that fact. And I think it goes along to, regarding all. Highly connected to what Israel needs to do. I think that Israel needs to capitalize to seize this moment and to strengthen this coalition. And by knowing that any Israeli kinetic attack against Iran that maybe it's for some people it's natural, will harm the ability of Israel to create this kind of coalition. So I think a lot of dependent what will Israel will do in retaliation to the Iranian strike.
Now, moving to a parallel front, alarming and disturbing as well, of course, northern Israel and Hezbollah. What do you see? How do you see the effect of the Iranian attack on Hezbollah, on Nasrallah, and his reaction? We know that parallelly to the attack on the 13th of April, there was also weapons sent to Israel at the same time. How disturbed should Israel be by their reaction of Hezbollah, with regards to the attack?
Yeah,
and what is expected also in the next days?
I think Hezbollah is a very important organization to discuss, especially in light of the Iranian strike, but maybe what will happen if Israel will strike Iran. I think that from the get-go, from the first day after the assassination of Madhavi, Nasrallah in his public speeches tried to frame it as an Iranian threat. This is why Iran, that I think assumed that if they will retaliate through their proxies, they will perceive it as weak. This is why Iran wanted to have this kind of magnitude in their own response. We had some responses from the Houthis, the Shiite militias in Iraq, and the Hezbollah, but really it was a symbol, not something dramatic. But the main problem that I have right now is not what happened in the past, is what will happen in the future. I think when I'm trying to assess what the Iranians are saying to themselves, yes, they are content, but in a war with Israel, they will need the ultimate card, meaning Hezbollah. Because as we saw, the ability of Iran to inflict dramatic damage to Israel by using all of its force, the missile, the UAVs, and the cruise missiles, is limited. Iran needs Hezbollah. This is, I think, this kind of connection can really strain Israel and even the US in that regard. That is why I think that if we find ourselves in escalation, I think it would be very hard to isolate Hezbollah from the future escalation, especially if Israel will attack Iran. For Nasrallah and for Hezbollah, I think it was good in their own view that Iran took the lead in that regard. I don't think that Hezbollah wants to find itself in a war with Israel. And I think that...
Nobody wants to find itself in a war with Israel, but everybody's somehow escalating the situation.
Everything is very bad. Everything, you know, everybody's playing with fire. But I think that you can see how Hezbollah reacts from the day one of the war. He is preserving what he's saying, the rule of the game. And I don't think he wanted to cross the rule of the game because of Madhavi. But I think he will cross the rule of the game if Israel will put the jeopardy to Iran itself. He will be forced to do so. That is why I think that even if Nasrallah was isolated or Hezbollah was isolated in the Madhavi event in terms of the Iran retaliation towards the future, I'm not sure that this reality will stay as it is.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you very much. Chuck, moving now to you. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Dennis just a few minutes ago. To what extent was the American pressure on the Iranian regime just a few days before the attack influential on the characteristics of the attack that we saw in the end, on the result? What do you think? How much were they influenced by the US or deterred? Dennis still thinks they were deterred. Do you think as well?
Well, before I address that, let me just say one thing about what Dennis was saying, that there's the feeling of success in Tehran, that they hit Israel hard and maybe strengthened their deterrence. There's a parallel feeling in Israel. And I would say it's partly also psychological compensation for the catastrophe of October 7th, because this time the IDF performed magnificently the way we expected to. Not like what happened on October 7th. And there's a question whether we want to respond now or not, whether it's right to do so. And maybe we'll address that again in a minute. I think my thinking is similar to Dennis's. But when you have this kind of parallelism, it can be good, it can be bad. It can be good because both sides can declare victory and the round is over. It can also be bad because it can breed a degree of overconfidence and a desire to do more. So we'll see how it plays out on both sides. I think that we can declare victory at this point.
You think from the Israeli side, the event is over, or we're not yet seeing the end of it? What do you
No,
think?
I don't know that it's over, and there's supposed to be a cabinet meeting later today to talk about this. And I was a little bit surprised by the press reports indicating that the people that we expect to be more moderate in the coalition at this time took a harder position than some of the ostensible right-wingers. So we'll see how it plays out.
Referring to some of the cabinet members that actually wanted to attack Iran at the same time the UAVs and missiles were launched to Israel. That
You're
this was a
absolutely right.
suggestion. Yeah.
Look, by the way, I mean, there is a lot of sense to those who want a strong response. The Iranians attacked us in a way that never happened before, and they deserve to be hit back with the greatest response, actually, that we can. This was a declaration, as far as I'm concerned, this was an act of war, even if their objectives were limited. And part of building deterrence is responding even harder. And at the same time, there is an overall group of considerations, calculations that the national leadership has to take into account. And I think, given those calculations and constraints, we should probably declare victory. But you
Do you
asked
think,
about.
by the way, I'm asking just a small question in between. Do you think Israel and the US as well, the allies as well, look at the intentions of Iran or the results? What is more important?
Well, both. Very often, for example, when we see terrorist attacks, and this was a form of a national terrorist attack, but true terrorist attacks, and we block them. So, do you respond because we successfully blocked them, or do you respond because the person involved was trying to commit mass murder? It's a dilemma, and the unfortunate truth is that we tend to do a kind of body count afterwards, and that determines the extent of our response. It determines, and it's true for all countries. Israel's no different when it comes to that. So we have to take into account both considerations now in terms of the Iranian attack. But you were asking whether the U.S. succeeded in deterring Iran, or if at least affecting its decision-making calculus. And I would say yes and no. I mean, clearly it didn't succeed in deterring Iran from attacking completely. But maybe it would have been even worse otherwise. The U.S. certainly tried to send various messages to Iran, both diplomatic and military, in terms of its deployment in the region, in terms of the overt cooperation with Israel on this. And the Iranians decided, for whatever reason, or the reasons Dennis was talking about, that they wanted to go ahead in any event.
Jack, why do you think the US is so against an Israeli response, a military response these days? They were, on the one hand, so cooperative and so supportive of its defense 24 hours ago. Why stop Israel now from reacting? What is the fear?
Well, as you're saying, they were totally supportive of it. It's more than supportive. This is the first time in history that we actually conducted a major joint military operation,
Yeah, together with the friend,
multilateral.
of course, with France and Great Britain and Jordan, this must be
Right.
said.
Remarkable. And I think we should talk in a minute about that. But yes, this was it was primarily a joint Israeli and American operation. We've never fought a mini war or a major operation like this together before. But Biden wants to prevent a regional conflagration. He's deeply concerned with reason that this could lead to an escalation.
Are we not already there?
Well, not if Israel doesn't respond, or if Israel at least keeps it to a very limited response that the Iranians can swallow. If that's not the case, and part of the Iranian modus operandi is always to want to have the last word in these type of things. But assuming that they don't, then we can put an end to this round. And yeah, I think the last thing that Biden wants at the moment is an escalation in the Mideast. East. He's paying an, I mean, first of all, there are the strategic reasons why he doesn't want the escalation, but he's also paying a price domestically.
Internal implications, of course, for
Right.
regarding his election campaign, of course. How can it influence his campaign just a few months
Well,
before the election?
it's quite remarkable that Israel, the Gaza war, have become potentially determining fact, decisive factors in the outcome of the election. Now, on a broad national American level, even the strong rise in anti-Israeli sentiment in the US in recent months is basically insignificant. But in a few places, primarily Michigan, which is the state with the largest Arab or Muslim population in the US, but other places as well, including Virginia, where the vote is likely to be extraordinarily tight, a few thousand votes in either direction could make all the difference. And Mr. Biden's number one strategic objective in life at the moment is to get reelected. And frankly, I think one of Israel's number one strategic considerations today should be to have him reelected, because he's been an extraordinarily good president for Israel. And
especially since October 7th.
Yeah.
So is Biden saying no, or is he saying no now? No now, but maybe later.
Well, no now is also a way of probably saying also not later, because what's your pretext going to be later? And I don't know that he's saying don't do anything whatsoever, maybe keep it limited. I tend to think it's basically declare victory. That's, if you look at the readout of the call that he had with Mr. Netanyahu, then that seems to be the impression. And it's from, at least from an American perspective, it's understandable. Mm-hmm. And as much as I think that in other circumstances, I would advocate a very, very strong Israeli response now, even though the outcome was good in and of itself. But no, we've got to respond to an attack like this. Again, we've got the Gaza war. You asked about the relationship to that. And we've got the consideration of American policy and the elections.
But also Biden knows, of course, that Israel is a sovereign country. And in the end, you know, in the decision-making process, Israel can make its own decisions, but knowing that the U.S. will not be by its side if it chooses to react in the way Israel would like to react, but stops itself.
We're a semi-sovereign state. We're mm-hmm. a state that our national security today is at best based largely on the relationship with the United States.
We saw it 48 hours, a bit less than 48 hours ago, yeah.
Right, and we've seen it since October 7th against an ostensibly minor threat. I believe that one way or another will work out things with the Iranians, including their nuclear program, and one way or other will eventually work things out with the Palestinians. There's one issue that I really consider existential, and that's our relationship with the United States, because we need the U.S. for everything, for Iran, for Hezbollah, for Hamas, for any prospects for future peace in the region, for normalization, for our international standing, for its veto in the Security Council.
Sure. That was exactly my next question to you. How do you think, you know, that there was, we know there's an ongoing crisis between, personal crisis between President Biden and Netanyahu. How will the relations between these two be affected by the Iranian attack? What do you think?
Well, I think President Biden has showed an admirable ability to separate between, well, certainly his personal feelings, but it's not a matter of personal feelings so much. It's differences over a number of issues having to do with the Palestinians. Pretty much everything on the Palestinian level is a source of deep disagreement, and it has been for decades. It's not just Mr. Biden, and I think that what we've seen here in the last few months is something, let's say, like the eruption of a volcano. In other words, anger in the U.S. about Israel's Mideast, its Palestinian policies, in defiance of American policy, in defiance of American aid, has been building for decades. And Biden came along and said, well, I'm putting that aside after October 7th, because Israel was attacked in the most horrific manner possible. We have to defend Israel. And again, he did this 24 hours ago. Okay, we put aside differences. When it comes to Israel's fundamental national security, you don't have a better friend in the United States than me.
Israel's not alone. He repeated this several times.
But what we've seen in the American electorate, and by the way, it's only a part of the electorate. The American support for Israel overall is still pretty strong. But part of the electorate, the lava finally erupted.
I would like to ask both of you, Dennis and Chuck, like a summarizing question with a short answer because we need to finish this panel in a few minutes. What should Israel do right now? If you can recommend the decision makers in Israel, what would be the next step, Dennis? What should Israel do?
First and foremost, coordinate everything with the US. Even if Israel decide to attack, we have to give early warning to the US in that regard. But my personal recommend is not attacking kinetically Iran. I think that Israel can and should capitalize on what Iran did. Iran played to the Israeli hands, and now Iran perceived as the rogue state in the region. And I think we can use that in order to further build the international coalition and the region coalition against Iran. And I think any attack, kinetic attack, may be allowing the decision making Israel to say or to show our strength. But at the end of the day, it will force Iran to regroup and then to attack Israel again, to balance the equation again. And then we can find ourselves in a spiral that could lead to escalation, maybe regional war. So, the bottom line of things regarding how I see things is that Israel, I think, need to preserve its restraint. Not attacking kinetically Iran and use any diplomatic and political means in order to increase the pressure on Iran in that regard.
Knowing that a regional alliance will probably bring to a reduction, I don't know if reduction is the right word, but a less severe future attack on Iran.
And I say even more than that. If you're looking at what the Iranians are thinking, I think a kinetic strike is a blow, will be a blow to Iran, but a severe blow to Iran will be Israel as an integral part of the Middle East in general and the Gulf states in particular. And I think for them it's a threat, it's a political threat, it's economic threat, it's a military security threat if Israel have this kind of relation with the countries surrounding Iran, definitely in the Gulf. So I think in that regard, normalization process with Saudi Arabia, building a regional coalition, it serves not only the political and diplomatic interest of Israel, but also its security interest, and it increased the deterrence regarding Iran. So I think it's a win-win situation regarding Israel in that regard.
Position is very clear. Thank you very much. Chuck, your position?
I'd like to be able to disagree with Dennis to keep things interesting here, but I fully agree. Two things. First of all, I think that we should take advantage of the position that Iran put itself in. And Dennis was already indicating this, to leverage it for pressure on Iran. But I would say that we can now focus this pressure on two things. One is Iran's regional role, and specifically bring the nuclear issue back onto the agenda. Because one of the tragedies of the last year and a half of, I believe, Israeli poor Israeli policy has been that the nuclear issue disappeared from the international agenda, and this is a good opportunity to put it back on it. The other issue is that, yes, this is the first time we've ever operated as part of an international coalition, which is something which is entirely foreign to Israeli thinking. Now, I've been an advocate for years, for decades, of a bilateral security treaty with the United States. And I think it's something that we should really try and achieve today. But what we saw now was something beyond that, and something which I must say is even for me is hard to grasp, is we fought together with the UK, with France, with Jordan, I think additional Arab countries, but I won't try to out anyone on this broadcast. This is something we've never done before. And it creates really critical new capabilities, especially when you're facing a country like Iran, which is a regional power. And it's a power, it's not that it's any real military threat to the United States. If there was ever war with the US, we know exactly how it would end and how quickly it would end. But the US doesn't want to deal with it because it's a major distraction from more important things.
Clear.
And here's an opportunity to do it. What I really believe that we should do, and I understand the difficult politics involved, I believe that Mr. Netanyahu should try to find a way to say some minimal yes to the Biden plan, something that will allow the US to not just go beyond stopping the war in Gaza, But getting a political process in the region going, which will then allow for the normalization with Saudi Arabia, which will be absolutely transformational for the Middle East as a whole and for Israel in particular. And this will enable us to really contain Iran. And the price of that is, yeah, we're going to have to say something on the Palestinian issue. Personally, I would be willing to say a great deal, but at least if Mr. Netanyahu can say something, that I think
yes, more yes than so much no.
Yes, exactly.
What he uses to do, gentlemen, I really want to thank you for your insights, or important insights on this issue of the Iranian attack and Israel's future steps, if and how they will look like. Only time will tell. But maybe we can definitely say that this event, historical event, unprecedented event, may have brought also opportunities, and not only challenges and more headache, but also opens more opportunities that we didn't think of. So let us pray for that. Thank you so much for joining me. And thank you very much for our listeners and viewers, and see you on the next program. Goodbye.